Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
This week, Taoiseach Simon Harris nominated Nicky Bradley to fill the Shannon seat left vacant by Regina Doherty's election as MEP. Nicky from Donegal is a young woman who has a remarkable personal story, and I'm delighted to welcome her into our studio this morning. Thanks a million for coming, Nicky.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
All the way from Donegal this morning. Really appreciate it. Listen,
it's an early start.
We appreciate it. Tell me about joining the ranks of Shannon Éireann. How did it come about? When did the Taoiseach tell you that he'd like to put your name forward?
So it was very recent. I think people thought I knew months ago, but no, it was. And I think that is the way the nominations work. It's very much up to him who he picks. So it was about maybe nearly 3 weeks ago now. And I actually came in the form of a message first, and then I had a meeting, and yeah, it kind of just went from there. So I'm still, and as are my family, still very much in shock, but I'm genuinely, and I said this, I had my first press conference there the other day, and I meant what I said. It's probably the honour of my life in terms of my career. It really was. It means a lot to me.
Had you met Simon Harris before? Had you come across the Taoiseach before?
So a number of years ago, we were having a conversation. I used to be part of an organisation called JCI, Junior Chamber International, and it's a voluntary organisation around the world for young people that maybe want to go into motivational speaking or into leadership. So it just teaches you those kind of skills and encourages you to, you know, step up onto those platforms and get better at those kind of skills. And every year they have the Most Inspiring Young Person Awards. And we believe, we can't be 100% sure if this is where we met, but we believe this is where it was, because I delivered a speech that year. And it was actually the Taoiseach's brother, Adam, that was being awarded. But that was about maybe 6 years ago. And I, you know, we haven't met since. But he recalled hearing me speak and hearing my story and how some of the things I said stayed with him. And, you know, that meant a lot to me as well. The fact that he didn't just, you know, the way a lot of people, you might just assume, oh, they'll forget 5 minutes after they meet you. The Taoiseach isn't like that at all. He remembers. So, yeah, it meant a lot.
And you obviously made a big impression on him. Now, tell me a bit about yourself and your own disability, because a lot of people listening won't know your story, Nicky. It started with bone cancer. Is that right?
Yeah. So when I was 16, I was diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma, which is a rare form of bone cancer. It started off with a lump in my pelvis on the right hand side that I basically didn't do anything about for a while. I think I thought it would just go away. And it's funny how we do that, when we're, you know, when deep down we know it's serious, we don't rush to do something about it. But by that Christmas, I was given my diagnosis, and the following year and a half was taken up with chemotherapy, radiotherapy and surgery. And thankfully, touch wood, I've been cancer free ever since. But there was damage caused by both the chemotherapy and radio, and the surgery itself. They had to cut through some muscle tissue and nerves, and I was left with chronic nerve damage as a result. And to this day, I would still have, even after my more recent surgery, I still suffer with nerve damage. But radiotherapy was the key factor in the multiple surgeries that I've had to have since. The damage of 20 short minutes a day, every day for 6 weeks, which is relatively short compared to how long chemotherapy takes, destroyed the bone in my right hip and resulted in me having two total right hip replacements, both of which failed. I fell in, was it 2011, I think? Now, from like nothing higher than the seat I'm sitting on now, and broke my femur. And that was when I realised, I didn't know at the time, that yes, if you don't use your body the way it should be used, that the muscle can waste. But I didn't realise that bone density can weaken. I had to learn that the hard way, because that resulted then in having to have further surgery to put a metal plate running from my hip down as far as my knee. And there was just so many other, you know, smaller surgeries, smaller trial treatments we tried to alleviate the pain. And we got to a stage then, actually during COVID, when everything shut down, that I finally made the call. Like, amputation had been mentioned multiple times over the years, and the very first time it was mentioned, I ran for the hills. I just thought, no, that'll ruin my life. I can never, you know, it's just not something for me. But then I went home and I thought about it, and I thought about, well, maybe it actually would make things easier. But I still had a few years before I had to finally make the call. But as I said, when COVID happened and all of our services shut down, I didn't realise how much I had been relying on the gym. I used to go quite regularly, and I was keeping the rest of my body strong. Even though my leg was weak, the rest of my body was strong, and I'm a crutch user, so that keeps your upper body strong anyway. So when that specific service went away, my pain went through the roof. And it was actually proof to me, because I've always said about exercise being like a painkiller, largely due to the fact that you're in so much pain from being in the gym that you forget about the other pain. But yeah, when we all went into lockdown, I was experiencing issues in my neck, my back, and obviously my hip as well, and went over to speak to my consultants in the UK. And basically we just said now's the time, you know, we need to take this measure. And it was the first surgery that I actually chose. I've never been able to pick any of the surgeries before, because it's always been an emergency situation, whereas this time to feel as a patient to have control was huge, because that's the first thing that a lot of people say, like especially cancer patients, that your level of control just goes, or your feeling of control goes out the window. So I chose a rotationplasty, which is, maybe your listeners might Google it, because if I even try and explain
it's fascinating.
It is incredible. In terms of medical science, the fact that we're here now, that this is even a thing, is unbelievable. So it's essentially when they amputate the lower half of the leg, but keep the nerves and the you know, all the parts of you that still need to work, so they don't, it's not a clean amputation, and so it's even more complicated if you think about it like that. They rotate at 180 degrees and reattach it further up, and the reason that they do it is because most people that opt for this surgery maybe have a tumor slightly higher up in the leg, so they just remove that part but reattach it. And the reason that I had this surgery was, obviously it was my hip that was the issue. So as I said here this morning, my knee joint is actually where my hip is, and my ankle will, when I get my next prosthetic, act as a knee joint. So the moment I walk with a straight leg prosthetic, but the next one will bend, and I will use my ankle to control it. It's just unbelievable that they can do this. And the only reason it's not more popular over here is because of how it looks. So when I decided I was going to have this surgery, I said, you know what, I'm just going to go really public with this. I chose one platform, because I just don't have the time for them all or the mental capacity. So I chose Instagram, and I just said,
it's a lovely medium.
And I had a nice community there anyway. So right up until, you know, the night before my surgery, then my friend Emma took over my account for a few days afterwards, and she updated people. And from then, I've just kept it open, because when I Googled rotationplasty, the images that I saw terrified me. And I vowed that the next person in Ireland that Googles that same word will find my story and not what I found. And they'll find like the hope afterwards. They'll find the VHI mini marathon I did, you know, a couple of months ago. They'll find that you can get back to what you love doing, but you just have to go through that little bit first.
But you are remarkable, like even just throwing out there the VHI Women's Marathon. I mean, lots of people don't do it and they have like two perfect legs. Why? And before that, even before you had your amputation, you were hugely into challenges, weren't you? Tell me about some of the even climbing you did.
Yeah. So in 2013, I set up Fighting Fit for Ewings, and I suppose in some ways I needed a focus. You know, I'd come out the other side of my surgeries. I had an 11 centimeter leg length discrepancy. I knew at some point amputation was on the cards, but no other surgery was really offered to me. So it was kind of, it was a situation where I was just told, this is what you have now. So go and do what you can with it. And I wanted to do more than just what I could with my situation. I really wanted to try and push the boundaries, just even to see what you could do with a certain mindset, regardless of what your body tries, you know, regardless of your body trying to hold you back. So Fighting Fit for Ewings is based around physical challenges. And, you know, I'm the guinea pig in it all. I'm the one that does the challenges, and I share everything then on social media. And the purpose of it is to raise awareness for Ewings, obviously, but also to highlight the importance of exercise for rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned earlier, exercise really helped with my pain management. And I wanted to show people interesting ways to do something similar for themselves. So just to name a couple of the challenges we've done over the years, I became the first crutch user in 2018 to climb 4 Irish mountain peaks on crutches in 32 hours. We scaled the route of the Sólheimajökull Glacier in Iceland. I attempted a Guinness World Record in Holland and lost out by 1 second. That's a story for another day. I'm still not over it. And we've done loads of sea stacks abseiling. And then the partnership with VHI Women's Mini Marathon, I became an ambassador with them 2 years ago. And actually it was when I was recovering from my rotationplasty surgery that they reached out. And I remember being at home wanting to re-enter the world of these challenges that I set myself, but kind of feeling that maybe that's behind me now. Will I be able to actually do these challenges, especially with a prosthetic that doesn't bend? And I was just starting to feel a little bit defeated. And you know the way sometimes it's in those moments that an email will pop through? That's exactly what happened. And I've never said yes to something quicker. And then I kind of thought about the route, and I thought about a little, you know, some of the logistics. And I was like, have I said yes too quick? But actually, as it turned out, it was amazing. It was one of the best things I've ever done. So we did it for the first time last year and again this year. And most of us, if not all of us, especially women, know of the VHI Women's Mini Marathon. But I don't know, does everybody know of the atmosphere when you're there? And if you've never done it, I'd just sign up next year. That's all I'll say.
You're also a remarkable motivational speaker. Where do you get your motivation from? I mean, I'm watching you now, like you are a really positive person. You do all these things. Is it A, within yourself, and B, you've a great family and support around you as well, haven't you? I think you always say that.
Yeah, 100%. Friends, family, my fiance, everyone around me. My friends are still the friends I've had from school. So those girls that were there when I was diagnosed at 16 are still my best friends. We're still the same WhatsApp group, even though it wasn't WhatsApp back then. And that's really important. We know each other inside out and backwards. So if there is, you know, if I'm having a rough time, there's people everywhere I can go, which is, I'm so incredibly lucky to have that. But they also push me. You know, they don't, apart from my dad, and I know he'll be listening this morning. If my dad, even now, I'm 38, he would wrap me in cotton wool if he could. He just wants to protect me. But I always say that if dad says I shouldn't do something, I go ahead and do it. So I do the opposite of what he says. I'm only joking there. But, I've just been so lucky that I've had the right people in my life. But I am also very self-motivated. And the more my body let me down over the years, the more I push back. And I made a decision many years ago, actually while lying in hospital in Australia, that from that day forward, no matter what happened with my health, my mindset wasn't going to change. And it's probably the only promise I've ever made myself that I've actually kept. And it's grown over time. You know, with each setback, I've thought back to that day that I made that promise to myself. And then there's the other side of it. You know, when you meet like-minded people doing stuff like this, so it's like a positive peer pressure. There's lots of reasons.
Now, what do you hope to achieve in the Shannon? And also, the Donegal constituency is very interesting. Joe McHugh, he's not going to be standing the next general election. So would you consider standing for Fine Gael?
Well, I'll answer your first question first.
You've already got the answers of a politician.
What I want to do in the Shannon is, first of all, focus on key issues within the community and the world of disability, but not necessarily, because I am a very realistic person and I know that there's only certain things that I'll be able to do in whatever amount of time we have. But what I can do is use my lived experience to help people with disabilities on a daily basis. So I know over in European Parliament, there was information about a universal access key shared. And I know in the UK that they have this already widely available. I've used it myself in airports. So basically, they just change the lock on disabled toilets to stop people misusing them. And you'll be allocated a key if you need one, and only if you need one. And if it's a short term, I don't know the ins and outs, but if it's short term, like say if you broke your leg, you're not going to get one. Then it's for people with long term disabilities. So they know that when they go into that toilet, that it'll be clean. It won't be used as a storage cupboard. And we all know, we've been in them where there's ladders and, like, I've been in a couple where I could barely get to the actual toilet because of everything that was everywhere. And I'm a crutch user. I can kind of meander through things, but that's a safety hazard. But if I was a wheelchair user, I just wouldn't get in. That's one small thing that could make a difference. There's so many others, just so many other things within disability that I mentioned publicly during the week. But one thing I really want to do is just listen. I want to sit down with people with disabilities and their families and ask what their issues are. I also want to encourage young people to try and become, they don't necessarily have to absolutely love politics, but be interested enough to use their vote. Because the numbers and the figures from the last election weren't great for young people. Yeah. And there's no reason. We have the right to vote. If you want to have an opinion on politics and on what people always love to say, the state of the country, you need to vote. Because if you're not going to vote, then you don't have an opinion, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be great in the Shannon. So what about... What about the Donegal constituency?
What I'm saying at the moment,
you're not saying
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying yes either, though.
No, that's true.
I'm not saying anything at the moment. I want to get my feet under the table first and learn the ropes, because politics isn't my background, and I've made that very clear. I'm not here because I want to be a politician. I'm here because I care, and I'm here because I want to continue my work with disability advocacy. So we'll just see what happens.
Well, you're going to have a great future, whatever it is. Senator Nikki Bradley, thanks so much for coming from Donegal this morning. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I wish you the very best going forward.
Thank you very much.